From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Washington, D.C. is a center of wealth and power, but beyond all those majestic monuments, the nation's capital is in the grip of a major public health crisis. D.C.'s annual rate for new AIDS cases is 10 times higher than the national average, more than New York, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and any other major urban center. In a city of just over 500,000 residents, 1 in 50 people is living with AIDS, and an estimated 1 in 20 district residents is HIV positive. To understand what those numbers mean, think about a movie theater, the kind you'd find at the Cineplex, with 20 seats per row. Now imagine that one person in every single one of those rows could have HIV. 1 in 20. And what's particularly troubling, thousands of people don't know they're infected or that they, in turn, could infect someone else. On a busy street corner in Washington, D.C., outreach workers are handing out flyers and fistfuls of free condoms and encouraging people to take an HIV test.
Here you go. Hi, we're giving away free HIV testing on our van over here. This is a swab in your mouth to get your results right then and there.
Free of charge, like I said, free. Our van is right here at the corner 17.
I saw it.
And you can get your, if you're interested, going to get tested today?
Today, I'm on the way to work.
Okay then, maybe next time.
Juanice Pringle and Angie Venable are wearing bright purple aprons and open smiles as they walk near 7th and T Streets. It's a busy intersection in a so-called transitional neighborhood. Here you see college students from nearby Howard University, urban hipsters who are renovating area row houses, and on almost every corner you spot groups, mainly men, just hanging out.
We have proved it to be a lot of trafficking of drugs and that kind of thing in this block, so you may notice a lot of people are around. It's not that they're linemen, but I guess they're doing their business.
What kind of test are you offering?
HIV.
Rapid test.
Yes, the HIV or quick advance.
That's June Polidor. She's part of a group called the Women's Collective, a nonprofit that supports those with HIV while at the same time trying to stop the spread of the disease. The confidential test provides preliminary results in about 20 minutes. A 54-year-old man accepts the invitation for a free HIV test. He's sporting cornrows and starched blue jeans. He climbs inside the mobile testing van, sits down, and begins a pre-test interview.
Is there any questions that you would like to ask?
Feel free to interrupt.
I'd like to make a statement, right? I should have gone ahead and done this a long time ago.
Oh, good for you.
And I'm just doing it today because I met you all here. And no, I'm not afraid, right? I'd like to know what my status is. I assume, right, that I'm healthy. But you can never know.
It's cramped inside. The van is divided into three testing units, and the man in cornrows has his knees up near his chest as Counselor June Polidor assesses his risk factors.
Have you had a sexual relationship with a person with HIV/AIDS?
Not that I know of.
Have you ever had a sexual relationship with a man who had sex with men?
No.
Have you ever had sex while intoxicated?
Yes, I tried to at one time.
Have you ever had sex under the influence of non-injecting drugs?
Yes.
Have you ever exchanged money or drugs for sex?
No. No.
Can you identify high-risk behaviors?
Yeah, just being black is high-risk out here.
That may not have been the answer the counselor was looking for, but that 54-year-old man is not too far off the mark, not in Washington, D.C., While AIDS and HIV first surfaced among a small population of gay men, it's now reached deep within the city's black population, particularly women. Black or Latina women make up 85% of all new AIDS cases. Cornelius Baker has monitored the evolution of AIDS in Washington for decades. He's the former executive director of the Whitman Walker Clinic, the city's largest medical center for people living with AIDS and HIV. He says other cities have similar problems and similar demographics, but a number of societal and political factors have set D.C. apart.
We have a smaller population, but we also have a large gay community where we know that the infection rate has been historically high. We also have a majority black population, and the black community is being ravished by this epidemic. And then you add other factors. You add a very poor healthcare infrastructure. So people haven't always gotten the best primary care that they need. You have a high rate of drug addiction.
And in some cases, people trading sex
for drugs. And people trading sex for drugs, sex for money. You know, remember, this is a city that 10 years ago was bankrupt and had high rates of poverty, unemployment, and we still have lingering effects of that.
And D.C. also has a very high rate of incarceration. Is
that's
that a
correct.
Factor as well?
That's absolutely. I mean, when we look at what is the single most common factor that is present when a black woman is infected with HIV by her partner, he was incarcerated. And so we know that jails are now also a breeding ground for HIV.
On top of all that, Baker says the city's primarily black leadership has been slow to acknowledge that the black community has moved directly into the bullseye of the epidemic. He says that applies to politicians and to the churches as well.
In Washington, D.C., a city that, remember, has struggled to come into its own politically, to step out of the shadows of Congress, certainly the black community is often struggling for its pride. And the last thing that these communities want to be told is that they are the reason that we have such a horrible HIV epidemic. And that is, again, their fault.
So a city that was once the site of riots, that was once labeled the murder capital of America, is not eager to embrace this new problem.
It's not. And so what it breeds is a denial. And we know what denial breeds. Denial breeds ignorance. And then ignorance breeds disease.
Last summer, a nonprofit Law and Justice Center published a scathing report about the district's handling of AIDS. It found the city's response was understaffed, underfunded, and particularly ineffective in reaching those at greatest risk. Since then, the district has hired a new director for HIV and AIDS programs. Dr. Marsha Martin took over in September with an ambitious agenda, but without a big increase in funding to support it. In the last 5 years, district and federal funding for HIV and AIDS programs has increased, but it has not grown in proportion to the steady rise in AIDS and HIV cases. We sat down with Dr. Marsha Martin in her office recently. Beyond money, she told us that one of her challenges is to make AIDS a higher priority.
Unfortunately, 10 years ago, when people weren't doing so well, you know, when people were dying from HIV, people had a far greater awareness. But it's now no longer so much in the public eye. And as a result of that, people aren't paying so much attention, and people are being diagnosed every day.
Why aren't you doing more to put it in the public eye? Why is it that I can travel from one town to the other and not see a billboard or barely see a bus placard unless it's sponsored by one of the drug companies?
That's exactly the same question I asked myself when I came into this job, and that's one of the things that we are working on, which is to change this city's relationship to this epidemic. And so we have to revisit where our resources are and to determine whether we can do that big public education, public awareness program.
Do you presently have a public awareness program?
We don't have one right now, but we have a task force that the mayor's office is in the final stages of vetting that will be including some of the significant individuals that can help us with that campaign.
Now, that's curious. The city is in the wake of an epidemic but doesn't have a public awareness campaign. That doesn't make sense.
Well, what doesn't make sense about it, and I agree with you, what doesn't make sense is when it's off the radar screen, because people are doing better, people think it's not so necessary to remind people. And as a result of that, there are fewer dollars, both public and private, that are going to public education, public campaigns. And so we have to own in the District of Columbia our own problem so that people will know we're doing something about it.
Martin says the city needs to step up funding and move into battle mode. Her wish list is long. She wants to make condoms available in all public places that serve alcohol. She'd like to expand the needle exchange program, target prevention messages at sexually active teens and college students, and offer HIV testing in more doctors' offices and emergency rooms, as other cities are doing. Most of all, she wants to expand testing for people behind bars where there's a high concentration of HIV.
That's probably the highest rate of HIV anywhere in Washington, D.C.
So you do testing of inmates during the intake process. Mm-hmm. Why isn't testing done at the point of discharge, since the status may have changed during the course of incarceration?
Well, and that's a very good point. In fact, we were just at a meeting with HIV prevention directors from all over the country at the Centers for Disease Control last week, where we have learned that, in fact, in several states and jurisdictions, there's something called automatic testing going on, where you are automatically tested when you enter and you're automatically tested when you are discharged. We right now have a voluntary system. We are going to move toward automatic. And my recommendation is that it's automatic upon entry and it's automatic upon discharge. And I would also like to add that we are also looking to work with the federal government as well as our community partners to have all the residents of the District of Columbia tested for HIV.
Every single one?
Everybody know their status. If we have one in 20 living with HIV, that means it could be any of us.
What's the likelihood that that's going to happen within the next 5 years?
Oh, no question. It's going to happen. No question.
That there will be a program so that every single resident of the District of Columbia will take a test.
Absolutely. Everybody needs to know their status.
Good luck.
Back at the intersection of 7th and T, Martin's idea for a universal testing campaign was met with skepticism from a woman who'd just taken a test herself.
If she can do it, more power to her. I'm sure that a lot of people would be very pleased about that, you know what I mean? But I don't see that happening here.
On this day, the Women's Collective van spent 2 hours at 7th and T and tested 7 people in all, including a mother with a toddler on her lap, a woman who recently discovered her husband was secretly gay, and that 54-year-old man. All were black, and all 7 received negative results. The fellow wearing cornrows and blue jeans said he was relieved by his outcome, but nonetheless, he was shaken by what he heard.
I'm upset. I'm a whole lot upset because of... I didn't realize how prevalent the HIV is here in the District of Columbia. You can't copulate with a girl out here anymore. It's too dangerous.
I'd like to hear your theory. How did we get to this point?
Ignorance. Basic ignorance.
So while the city comes up with its new battle plan for HIV, an army of advocates is fighting ignorance one person, one condom, one confidential test at a time.